Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. Hopefully you got like a little sheet of paper as you came in that could be helpful with some notes. But tonight we're talking about the gospel and rest. The gospel and rest. So hopefully you come here to learn from somebody that's desperate for it, that's not a master of it, that's not an expert of it. Even today has been pretty crazy for the Parrot House. And so, hopefully it's God's will. We know it's God's will because I'm here. But God's good providence that somebody with a frantic heart is going to be used to speak on rest. And maybe that's grace for you tonight because you're sitting here thinking, I feel frantic. You know, I feel busy. I feel tired. Well, let me pray for us that the Lord would give us rest and lead us into habits of rest as we rest together in Jesus. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time tonight as we stop, Lord, to be in your presence. Lord, you are here in this place. You are here with us in a real way. Not because of us, not because we've earned this moment, not because we've done something to draw your attention to us, but Lord, all because of Jesus. And so Lord, I pray for us tonight, for us who are busy or frantic or tired or overwhelmed or burdened. Lord, you'd help us know what it means to rest in Jesus. That you would help us know what it means to collapse completely into Christ. To exhale, Lord, all our dependence on ourselves and our works, our performance, Lord, and that we would breathe deeply the grace and the love of Jesus. So, Lord, help us. We pray. Lord, I ask that even tonight, that many of our lives would look different because of what we're going to hear tonight. So do that for our joy and your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Frantic, stressed, busy, hurried, anxious, tired, overwhelmed, panicky, overextended, pressure, spent, burdened, worried, distracted, weighed down, done. Did any of those words describe how you feel tonight? That's definitely a video of my life, too. How many of you heard a word that maybe describes your life or describes your heart? Like, even as I say those words, I can see pictures of, like, a bold number of unread emails in an inbox. Maybe you feel that way. Or busy bedtimes where you try to start at 8 p.m. and now it's 10:30 and we haven't gotten anywhere. Dishes piled up in a sink or screaming minivans, meeting after meeting, filling up a Google Calendar, friends that you feel like I have to keep up with, have to know what's going on in their life, social media feeds that I can't get behind on. Hopefully that's not too much of what's making you busy. While oftentimes we dream about a vacation on a beach somewhere. Anybody with me? Yeah. Or a phone put away because you're on the golf course or in a deer stand. Or maybe it's something as simple as like you got a cup of coffee and the house is quiet and you have a book. Those all sound like really good options right now, don't they? Or pictures that feel like this. We have any pictures? Oh, not that one. Wrong one. Keep going. That's Preston spending time with my cat. Oh, yeah. This is how my cat sleeps. Go to the next one. Let's just see. This is like the definition of rest. When I see those pictures, this is where my cat sleeps like that all the time, wherever he finds himself. His name's Caddy, because we're really original at our house. Caddy. And Caddy, at all times, it seems like, is asleep. Is all times is resting, is nothing's bothering him. Nobody around him's bothering him. He's completely at rest, completely safe, completely secure. And I think that's a picture of what we all long for in our life with Christ, right? We long to feel safe and secure, to be unburdened, to be unbothered, to rest in Jesus Christ. You know, years ago, a pastor was talking to Dallas Willard, and Dallas Willard's a writer who teaches, I believe, at USC. And Dallas Willard, this pastor asked Dallas Willard, what does a Christian need in order to be spiritually healthy? And Dallas Willard said, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And the pastor said, that's great, that's good. What else? And he said, there is nothing else. That's what he said to busy Americans like us. You need to ruthlessly eliminate hurry in your life. Another time, somebody was talking to Dallas Willard, and they said, what would be the single word that reading the Gospels that you would use to describe Jesus? And the word that he picked was relaxed. Probably not the first word I would have thought of for Jesus, right? Maybe like holy or perfect or loving, gracious. But he picked relaxed. I don't know if you're like me, but there's so many times where all those words I mentioned earlier can describe me. Like every single one of them can describe my heart and my life. And tonight we're asking the question, what does it look like to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives? Or what does it look like to treasure Christ when your hands are full, when your heart's overwhelmed? How do we live a life, even no matter how full our calendar gets, how do we live a life of rest in Jesus? So three topics you see, or three headings that you see on your paper, is we're going to look at the Bible in rest, the gospel in rest, and the practice of rest. And I'll just say again from the jump, I am not an expert. In some sense, I feel like I didn't just prepare this week for this message. This is like something I've been trying to learn and failing at often, but desiring more and more of what it means to rest fully in Jesus. So the first page you see that, what does the Bible say about rest? Well, the overarching theme of the Bible, first off, is that it all begins that we were created for rest. Like, we were created for rest. Think about Genesis 2, 1 through 3, right there. It's right in front of you. God finished his work, it says, and he rested on the seventh day. God rested. God blesses the seventh day. He calls it holy. And so what I want you to hear is that the Sabbath day was not a result of the fall. Rest is not a result of the fall. Like sin entering the world didn't create the categories of work and rest. Instead, sin corrupted work and rest. We were created for work and work that would be good and glorifying to God, and we were created for rest. Rest was given by God. The Sabbath is given as a gift. Look at the fourth command right there in your paper. It's Exodus chapter 20. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. And then listen to why. Why? Because I got to give you all something happened since sin came in the world and times are hard. I need to give you a day of rest because things are hard. Nope, that's not what it says. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So rest is rooted in creation. Sabbath was given as a gift for God's people. I mean, even think about this. Man's first day after he was created was what day? The Sabbath day. Like, we were created and entered into the first full day on earth into rest. Not, hey, can you do a lot of things to earn my love or to earn my approval or to be welcomed into my fellowship? No, it began with rest for God's people. Because they were created on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, God rested, and they were invited into it. The second thing, though, we see there is that sin brought restlessness. Sin brought restlessness. So those moments that you feel like frantic or worried or anxious or busy or overwhelmed, you should think in your heart, it ought not to be this way. God did not create me for this. Like, this wasn't God's good design to feel this way. Like, something's off. Something went wrong. I need something to be made right when I feel this way. Let's not confuse, as God's people, this sense that busyness equals godliness. I've done that. I'm guilty of that a lot of times. When somebody says, how are you today? How you been? What's your first answer a lot of times? Man, I'm busy. I'm busy. I like what Sean Perry says. Sean Perry says, when you say, like, I'm busy, he says, are you confessing or are you bragging? It's a good question to ask yourself. Am I boasting in something or am I confessing that I need to be resting? We feel this pride that when we're busy. But restlessness of the soul is a result of the fall. I could have gone to 100 different psalms probably. But Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil in me? It's the soul. It's just restless and anxious and worried, right? Like, the English word worried actually means, it has the image of being strangled. That hits home, doesn't it? When you're worried, it's like the life that God created is being strangled out of you. Psalm 127, verse 2, it says, it is in vain. Not, it is God's good plan. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. I'll just go ahead and confess, I'm guilty of both of those things. But notice, he doesn't say, this is God's good plan for you. No, he says, it's vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Trying to be sustained by your worry and your anxiety. Like if I stay up a little bit later, I'm going to fix something. Like, if I can just worry a little bit longer, I can make it right. No, read Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Instead of staying up late, eating anxious toil, or being worried, or being bothered by something, why don't you wake up in the morning and look at the birds? Look at the lilies and see, does God have to provide for them? No, God gives them what they need. You can rest in Him. So sin has brought a restlessness to our soul. But number three, Jesus is restoring our rest. Look at Psalm 127, verse 2 again. You might want to underline this verse in your Bible at the very end. It says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." If there's one verse I probably, or one phrase that I've meditated on more late at night in my bed, it's been that phrase right there. For he gives his beloved sleep. That's God's desire for your soul, to give you rest for your soul. And ultimately, we'll hear more about this here in a minute, the way the Lord brought rest to our restlessness, the way that God ultimately quiets our restless souls, is in Jesus Christ. Is in all our sins being forgiven and us receiving perfect righteousness so that we can rest completely in Jesus. That's ultimately how he gives rest to our souls. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to rest from the sin that can't satisfy you, that's working you up all the time, that you think this idol, this sin will satisfy me. God wants you to have rest from that. And he wants you to have rest from your self-righteousness. All the worry of, am I good enough? Have I accomplished enough? Have I done enough that God will love me or accept me? What's Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11? His invitation in Matthew 11 and to a very self-righteous culture of scribes and Pharisees in the context. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear what Jesus is saying. Jesus doesn't say, go on vacation and you'll find rest. Or go over here and find a nice book and you'll find rest. No, where do you have to go to find rest? Rest is in a person. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Nowhere else to ultimately find rest. Come to me, and in me you will find rest. That's why Jesus in Luke would go and correct a busy, worked up, worried, frantic Martha, who's distracted with a lot of serving, and correct her while he commends Mary, who's found the one thing. And what is that one thing? Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. The one thing is not serving and doing all these things and being busying yourself and get on this religious treadmill and trying to do enough serving that Jesus will be pleased with me. But no, it's finding that the one thing is Jesus, that rest is found ultimately in Jesus. The last thing, though, is that heaven, when you look at the Bible, heaven will be a world of rest. Or even the new heavens and the new earth that'll be brought here will be a world of rest. I mean, listen to these verses in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. All things new. That doesn't mean we're not going to work in heaven. Will we work in heaven? We will work in heaven, but it'll be an unburdened, joyful, glad, restful work. We will rest in Him. But if there's not going to be any crying, and there's not going to be any mourning, and there's not going to be any feelings of being frantic or overwhelmed, all that's going to be over. Everything I started with will not be present in heaven, in the unburdened soul that's resting eternally in Jesus. So what does the gospel have to say about rest? That's our next section. The gospel and rest. Here's a few things that I've tried to teach my heart. I'm trying to learn, and I hope they help you as well. But the first thing, we're looking for the rest beneath the rest. Every single one of us is looking for the rest beneath the rest. Have you ever thought to yourself, I know all of us are probably guilty as charged, if I could just get to the weekend, if I could just make it to this such and such date on the calendar where I make it to the place we're going on vacation, if I can just get the kids to bed, if I could... It's always rest that is coming for something on the calendar, something that we're looking forward to, right? And then maybe you've got there and that thing has let you down. Have you ever thought that something was going to give you rest and it crushed your heart? Like it disappointed you? I have a ton of times. And anything, listen, anything can become an idol if we're asking it to give us something that only Jesus can give us. Anything in your life can become an idol if you're asking it to give you something that only Jesus can give you. Let me translate that. If you think something outside of Jesus will give you rest, that thing will eventually crush you. Does that mean we don't get excited about the weekend? Doesn't mean that. Does it mean we don't get excited about reading a good book or a cup of coffee or doing whatever you find rest in? No. But all those things, all those good gifts should cultivate more and more rest ultimately in Jesus. More satisfied, more joy in Jesus. The second thing that we see there, we have to learn that we're working from rest and not working for rest. It's really important if you get what that's saying. We're working from rest, not working for rest. If you get this reality, this is a gospel reality that can shape how you live, how you work, how you spend time at home, how you feel. If you get this reality that rest is not something that we earn at the end of a long week. No, rest is something we receive as a gift, right? Rest is not something we earn because of our work, our performance, what we've achieved. No, rest is something we receive because of Christ's work, Christ's performance. And so, as Dane Ortlund says, those moments where you might feel frantic or restless or bothered, you might want to ask yourself, am I looking at the wrong performance? Like, am I looking at my performance and grading my day? And my joy is dependent on what I'm doing? Or is all my joy resting in Jesus? So the encouragement is not to live a frantic, hurried life, trying to busy yourself all the time and hoping that you get this paycheck at the end of the week from God. But no, live from rest. Live in grace. Live in the finished work of Jesus that's already done, that doesn't have to be added to, that will never be improved upon. Perfect, complete work of Jesus. Number three, we can rest forever. You might want to circle that word. We can rest forever from works. but not from work. That might sound like the same thing, but it's not the same thing, right? We can rest forever. Maybe you haven't done that before. I pray that tonight you would feel different about this, that tonight you could say, forever, I want to rest from works, but not from work. And what do I mean by that? All your acceptance, all your approval is found in Jesus. Let me describe how I used to live. So how I used to live was, if I work really hard, then maybe God will approve of me. Like if I do a lot more and busy myself a lot more and serve Him in different ways in the church, then maybe God will finally accept me. Like if I do better, if I'm a better person and I'm more good than others and I try really hard, then at the end of that, maybe, just maybe, God will love me. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. That's legalism. That's you earning your favor, your grace, which is undeserved favor, so it makes no sense. You trying to earn what you could never earn by your works. But the opposite is just as untrue, right? Antinomianism is meaning like the law doesn't matter. How I live doesn't matter. So the answer is not like God has approved of me, so I can do whatever I want. Like God accepts me in Jesus, so man, I'm free to just do whatever I want till I get to heaven. Now here's how the gospel works. I've been fully approved of in Jesus. So now I want to live the rest of my life to bring Him glory. I've been accepted, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And from that acceptance, oh, I want to run this race with endurance to bring Him glory. I've been fully loved. That's why God calls me in the Bible His beloved. I've been fully loved in Jesus. I'm not trying to earn love. I've received it fully in Jesus. And from that love, I want people to come to know Jesus. I want to live differently to please Him. You see the difference there? The gospel sets us free, free from works, trying to earn our approval, but it doesn't set us free from living for the glory of God. Eugene Peterson, this messed me up years ago because I was like, I just don't understand this. You ever wrestle with grace so much because it just doesn't make sense? Part of it is because it's grace. And our natural bent is like law and earning it. And let me show that I deserve it. And that's not the gospel. But I'll never forget reading Eugene Peterson. Actually, it was actually Dallas Willard. Now I think about it. And Dallas Willard says, grace is not against effort. Grace is against earning. Grace is not against effort. Grace is against earning. Right? Grace gives us freedom. We can't deserve, we can't earn God's grace, but we've been fully forgiven and we can live in that grace, striving, running, doing all the things the Bible calls us to live for the glory of God. Number four, Sabbath is not a law that we have to keep. It's a gift that we get to receive. What's Jesus say in Mark chapter 2? Anybody know what Jesus said about the Sabbath? Made for man. Y'all remember Jesus said, the Sabbath wasn't, you weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for you. Like I gave the Sabbath as a gift. It's a gift. It's supposed to be a blessing, not a burden. That's why all the religious people and all the scribes and Pharisees didn't understand it. Why? Because they had made it a burden instead of received it as a blessing from the Lord. It was made to give life and rest, not take it away. So I say that all to say we're going to talk about habits and practices, But never think, if I do this, I could earn God's love. I could earn God's forgiveness. He'll be more happy with me because of me. Rather receive it as a gift so that you might enjoy him more and delight in him more. Then number five, we're invited into God's rest anytime and anywhere. We are invited into God's rest anytime and anywhere. That's just saying that ultimately rest is not a plot of land in the middle of Jerusalem that we're all trying to get to, right? In the Old Testament, when they were trying to get to rest. It's ultimately not just in a day of your week, but it's an invitation to come to Jesus whenever you're weary and heavy laden. In any moment, at any office space, at any school, wherever you find yourself, I can find rest in Jesus. It's rest is a constant gospel reality in Jesus. I don't know about you, but I feel like every time we sing the song, "It Is Well" in church, like it ministers me in a new way. Anybody else like love the song "It Is Well"? But the song talks about whatever my lot. Here's a man who lost his whole family at sea, and yet he's passing back past the place where he lost his family, and he pens these words, "It is well," saying, "Whatever my lot, God, you have taught me. Because of the gospel, whatever my lot, whatever comes my way, whatever's going on my calendar, whatever's happening at my workplace, whatever's going on in the church, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Think about that. Whatever's going on in your life, you have a rest that's untouchable because Jesus is untouchable. Like Jesus is unreachable in heaven. He is in heaven reigning. His work is finished and he is reigning forever. And his reign is not up in the air. And so we can rest fully knowing it is well with our soul no matter what's going on in our lives. We can rest in Jesus. All right. The last section, the practice of rest. The practice of rest. This is maybe where we're getting a little practical. I'm happy to, I could have probably put, at one point I was like, I think I'm going to preach a four-part series on rest. So you're trying to get a lot of stuff tonight in one message. But if you want to talk about rest or have questions about rest practically, I would love to talk about those. And I can linger to talk about it afterwards. But here's some things that I wanted to talk about. One, make Sunday the first day of your week. In light of what we've said about the gospel, make Sunday the first day of your week. What does that mean? What does that even mean? Think about how do you come in to this place on a Sunday mentally? How's your heart typically when you come into this place? I used to see Sundays as the last day of the week. Like it's the end of my week. And I come in here and I would come in and if I had accomplished a lot that week, if I had performed well or done a lot where I thought, you know, God's pretty happy with me, I would come in one way, almost like to present to God all my effort and all my work that happened this past week. Or if I had a really hard week, a really sinful week, a really restless week, well, then I would come in with less joy. I would come in down. I would come filled with shame. Why? Because of what I haven't done. So depending on how much I had done or what I hadn't done, how I performed or how I hadn't performed, was I good enough? Was I not good enough this week? All of that depended on how I would walk in on a Sunday morning. But what happens if Sunday is the first day where we start our week gathering in this place to rest in Christ together as God's people? To rest in the finished work of Christ. to hear from God's word, not about, hey, you got to do better, you got to try harder, here's some better things to do this week, but instead to hear it's already done. Christ has already finished the work. To come to this Lord's Supper table and not coming as people that have earned it, but people that come to the Lord's Supper table knowing, like, if it's left up to me, I shouldn't be here right now. Like, I don't deserve the grace that I'm going to receive. But because God is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, he made us alive together in Christ. So we come to this table not because we've deserved any of it, but because we've received it in Jesus. It's like the banner over this room on a Sunday morning should be nothing louder than it's finished. It's finished in Jesus. And we've come here to rest in him together. And from this place, we will leave from this place and we'll share the gospel and we'll reach our neighbors and we'll go to the nations. We'll do all that. But it comes because we're already resting in Christ. Remember, we work from the rest, not for rest. We work from it is finished in Jesus. So make Sunday the first day of your week where we come to rest in the gospel together. Number two, pick a day to rest differently. Pick a day to rest differently. Now, I'm not a strict Sabbatarian. I'm not like, don't walk your mule to the corner. Anybody here got a mule? You got a mule, Kaylin? You got a mule? Is everybody looking at me? I'm not like a strict Sabbatarian because ultimately, remember, Sabbath was not made. You weren't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for you. It's made to be a gift. And my personality, anybody else is like, I could easily become a Pharisee about anything. I could do that, right? Man, if I do what Lance said tonight, man, God is going to love me so much at the end of this week. And there's a lot of different perspectives. If you read about the Sabbath from people, there's a lot of people, some people will be like, you don't need to turn on your TV. You don't need to leave your house. You don't need to cook. You need to only receive, which is not a bad, if you feel like that's you, enjoy Jesus that way. But other people are like, get away from your work just for that day. Get away from your work, rest your mind, and focus on Jesus doing this or that. All I'm trying to tell you is pick a day that looks different than every other day. Pick a day that looks remarkably different, where you say, I might not do it great all week long, but today I'm ruthlessly eliminating hurry. I'm treasuring Jesus. Every moment of this day, I'm going to try to look to him and meditate on him any way that I can. Because your overall aim on that day is, how do I rest from busyness? How do I rest from hurry, from work? And how do I rest in Jesus? How do I rest in Jesus? The day I try to do this is the typical Sabbath for the Jewish people would be Friday evening till Saturday when the sun goes down. And they would not do a lot of work, and they would feast together and enjoy one another. And so for me, Thursday evening till Friday evening is a day where I'm like, this is going to look remarkably different than all the other days of my week. And I'm going to do everything I can to think about Jesus or listen to a sermon or a worship album or read or do what it takes to rest in Jesus. Some of y'all might be sitting here right now saying, like, you don't understand. I can't afford to do that. I would say you can't afford not to do that. Like, your soul can't afford not to do it. We need to slow down, or God, by his grace, will slow us down. Remember, we heard he gives his beloved sleep, and that can be an easy way, or that could be a hard way, a hard lesson to learn. Think of the math this way. If you worked 7 days or you busied yourself 7 days of the week at 50% capacity, that's like 350%. I think my math's something like that, right? Or you could do it 6 days at 80%, 90%. And which one would be more productive? In our minds, we're like, man, extra day, I would get more done. No, you would less. You would maybe look like or think you're getting more done and feel more tired. But those days would get a lot less of you. Because you'll be busy and worried and frantic instead of resting in Jesus. So I don't know what that looks like, whether that's a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever day for you, but pick a day to rest differently. Number three, find things that give you rest and things that don't give you rest. As soon as I said that, you all probably thought of some things like, oh, you know, I'd love, this would really be great. And you know immediately the things that you really don't want to do. I don't want to wash the bathtub. That's like probably top on my list, right? Y'all all have that thing that maybe you don't want to do. Some people in here might be like, I really want to be at the beach. That's restful. Or I want to go see things. That's restful. Or I want to sit and read. That's restful. I'll go for a run. Others say I'll eat a meal with a friend. Or listen to an album. Or watch sports or garden. Some of those, I don't know. Maybe I didn't say your thing. For me, like I get rest even cleaning. That sounds weird, right? Not the bathtub, but other things. I get rest cleaning, or I get rest playing disc golf. Amen? Right? Some days are more restful on the golf course probably than other days. Right, Brian? Right? Some can be less restful. But what gives you rest? And then I would say this. Do that thing with the goal of resting in Jesus. Like whatever you're doing, find ways that through that I can meditate on Christ and use it to stop, to be with Jesus, to practice the presence of Christ, to rest in Him. What are those things? So that means there'll be some things that you need to do because you can rest in Jesus through doing them, and there's other things that you probably should say no to. Because it doesn't give you rest in Jesus. It doesn't refresh you in Him. Maybe even tonight, make a list. What gives you rest in Jesus? Maybe share that list with other people. What gives me rest in Jesus? If you're married, I would encourage you, study what gives your spouse rest and then free them up to do it. Right? Study what gives others rest and then free them up that they might do it. Number four, your relationships need you to rest. We've kind of hit on this already, but I tell pastors a lot, the thing that your people need, I tell our pastors or other pastors, the thing that your people need more than anything is you abiding in Jesus. It's the most important thing that you do is resting in Jesus. Living in Jesus, dwelling in Him. But that's just not for pastors. That's true of every person in here and every relationship that you're a part of. The thing your spouse needs more than anything else is you to rest in Jesus. The thing that your kids need more than anything else is for you to rest in Jesus. The thing your friends or your coworkers or your neighbors or your relatives need more than anything else is for you to rest in Jesus. That's one of the best ways that when Jesus says to love your neighbor, one of the best ways to love your neighbors is to rest. That seems counterintuitive. But one of the best ways to love your neighbor is to rest. Anybody ever been on an airplane? A bunch of us probably, right? What do they say on the airplane with the oxygen mask when it comes down? Before you put the mask on anybody else, what do you need to do? Put it on yourself, right? Like you must, if you're not getting oxygen, or put it in another term, if you're not receiving grace, if you're not resting in Jesus, if you're not enjoying Christ, how is anybody else going to through you? How can you help anybody else do it? Resting in Jesus will change every relationship. You might be sitting there thinking about like a conflict or an issue that you've had and think, how is me resting in Jesus going to change them at all? I didn't say it'll change them, but it will change you all. You get it? Like, immediately when you rest in Christ, the dynamic of that relationship changes. Because you might, you can't change their heart, but your heart's being changed by Jesus and the way that you listen to them and love them and extend grace to them like never before. Listen to what John Mark Comer says in his book, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He says this: it's very hard to tempt well-rested, emotionally healthy, happy people. It's very easy to tempt exhausted, burned out, workaholic people under chronic stress. And then he says this: how often do we do the enemy's work for him? Wow. How often do we do the enemy's work for him? Instead of resting in Jesus, we're frantic, busy, worried, workaholic, opening up the door for everything. So maybe the most loving thing that you can do in some relationships is say no to some things. Say no to some things so you can say yes to resting in Jesus. Number five, don't let rest get in the way of love. Like, you need to rest. You need to rest, and that's good for other people that you rest. But so does everybody else around you. They need to rest too. So be as invested in others' rest as you are in your own. Like, I have a pastor friend who, I forget what day he rests. We'll say he rests on Friday. So his family, graciously, he's pursuing the Lord, spending time with the Lord, getting away from the work to rest. But he tells his family, and on Saturday, I want you to be invited to rest. That means I'm doing all the cleaning. I'm doing all the cooking. I'll run the errands. I'll do everything I can to free you up so that you can rest on that day. So yes, we should pursue rest for our hearts and for the good of others that we're resting, but we should be investing in other people's rest. I remember talking to Joe Starks one day, and Joe made the comment. He said, Katie, Starks' wife, he said, Katie always looks forward to my day off. And I felt guilty immediately. Could Rebecca say that she's always looking forward to my day off when I'm at home? No, because little Pharisee Lance is trying to protect his day and don't bother me, and I'm over here meditating and doing yoga with Jesus. Leave me alone. But no, stopping to rest with Jesus doesn't mean stopping to love others. We should seek to love others. Think about the Gospels, right? The Gospels, time and time again, show the greatest Sabbath breaker being who? Jesus. Jesus breaks the Sabbath more than any Jew. Why? He breaks the Sabbath so he can love. So he can give life instead of take life. That's why he's so frustrated with people just keeping a law, because they don't care about loving their neighbor. So listen, rest is not a pass to selfishness. Rest should be fuel for selflessness. Rest is not a pass for you to be selfish. It should be fuel for you to be more selfless in your home. Finally, practice resting in Jesus. One of the greatest obstacles in your life for resting in Jesus could be a quiet time. That's the last thing you were about to tell me that you thought I was going to say, right? The greatest obstacle for you resting in Jesus could be your quiet time with Jesus. Why? Because if you're doing it from a place of, I'm going to check this box, I'm going to stay up on this plan, I'm going to do it better than anybody else, I'm going to do it better than that person, Jesus is going to be happy with me if I read the Bible, if I pray, then you're not doing it from a place of rest. Your quiet time Your rest in Jesus has been come trying to work to earn Jesus' favor. But what would it look like if you memorized and meditated Matthew chapter 11? If you memorized and meditated on Matthew and chapter 11 and constantly just heard Jesus saying when you got alone, Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. And when you thought about Jesus' heart, you thought that he described his heart this way: I am gentle and lowly in heart. I'm not trying to get you to come to prove yourself. You don't have to show me your best performance. No, I'm inviting you to come and to rest in me. Preach the gospel to yourself. Every time that you are practicing rest, always preach the gospel to yourself of what Jesus has done. In your time with Jesus, think about how it is finished because of what Jesus has done. Preach the gospel to your heart. Y'all have probably heard me say it 1,000 times now, but as a believer, you're as desperate for the gospel today as the day you first believed it. So preach it to your heart. Remind yourself of the finished work of Christ, not your work. Remind yourself of his performance, not your performance, and rest in Jesus. Relax. Exhale. Relax in God's presence when you're with him. Relax. Relax. Because he, well done is not something you're waiting to hear one day. He always says right now, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased with. Matt Chandler used to say, God is not in love with a future version of you. God is not in love with a future version of you. He is in love with you right now. Rest in Jesus and his work. Peace. As one author put it, peace is practicing the presence of God while anxiety is practicing his absence. So just relax into God's presence. He is here. He is with me. Let's rest together in Christ, church. Let's do it even right now. Let's close our eyes. And let's just ask God to help us rest. Just in the quiet of this moment, I want to invite you to exhale all the things that make you frantic, all that make you feel busy or worried or like you're not enough. And in this moment, just think, the Lord is here. The Lord is here with us, and he's not just here with us. The gospel says he is for us. That absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So just exhale from all your works and rest in the finished work of Jesus. In this moment, let's just open up your hands and put your hands out if you're a believer in Christ. And just lay them bare to show empty hands of faith. I have nothing that I've earned, nothing that I have done, nothing I have achieved, but only what I've received in Jesus. And in this moment, just think. Think of hearing the words from the lips of Jesus. Think of you standing around the cross with your sin, with your rebellion, you worthy of God's wrath. And in that moment, hearing Jesus say over you on the cross, as he dies in your place, it is finished. It's finished. It's finished forever. I've accomplished what you could not do. I've died in your place. Your sins are forgiven. And hear the Father say over you, well done. Hear the Father say, here is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Here is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Father, this gospel is too good to be true. But Lord, it is true because, Lord, you did not spare your own Son, but you gave him up for us all, that we might rest forever in him. So Lord, help us rest from trying to earn our salvation or being self-righteous. And Lord, help us rest tonight completely and forever in the finished work of Jesus that's already been done. Lord, help us have practices in our days where we rest in you. Where, Lord, we seek to cease from our work, from our busyness, from our frantic lives so that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus and see our enoughness in him. Lord, make this the rhythm of our lives. Help us live in a rhythm of rest. Lord, that you might fill us with joy and that you might get great glory through us treasuring Jesus more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.